ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, entitled The Science of God, chapter number 4, Hiranyakashipu Terrorizes the Universe, verse number 12. Tasmin Mahendra Bhavane Mahabalo महामना निर्जिता लोक एकरात् रेमे अभिवंदया आंग्री युग सुरादिभि। प्रतापितेर उर्जिता चंड शासन तस्मिन् महेंद्र भवने महाबलो महामना निर्जिता लोक एकरात् रेमे अभिवंदया आंग्री युग सुरादिभि। प्रतापितेरुर्जिता चंड शासन तस्मिन् महेंद्र भवने महाबलो महामना निर्जिता लोक एकरात् रेमे अभिवंदया आंग्री युग सुरादिभि। प्रतापितेरुर्जिता चंड शासन महेंद्र भवने महाबलो मना निर्जिता लोक एकरा प्रतापितेरुर्जिता चंड शासन तस्मिन् महेंद्र भवने महाबलो मामना निर्जित लोक एकरा में भिवंदयाग्रि युग सुरादिभि। प्रतापितेरुर्जित चंड शासन तस्मिन् महेंद्र भवने महाबलो मामना निर्जित लोक एकरा में भिवंदया प्रतापितेरुर्जिता चंड शासन माताजी वर्ड टू वर्ड मीनिंग तस्मिन् इन दैट Mahendra Bhavane, the residential quarters of the heavenly king. Mahabala, the most powerful. Mahamana, highly thoughtful. Nirjita Loka, having everyone under his control. Ekarat, the powerful dictator, Reme, enjoyed, Abhivandaya, worshipped, Angri Yuga, whose 2 feet, Sur Adibi, by the demigods, Pratapite, being disturbed, Urjita, more than expected, Chanda, severe, Shashana, whose ruling. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Translation. So this is translation of verse 9 to 12. The steps of King Indra's residence were made of coral. The floor was bedecked with invaluable emeralds. The walls were of crystal, and the columns of Vaidurya stone. The wonderful canopies were beautifully decorated. The seats were bedecked with rubies, and the silk bedding, as white as foam, was decorated with pearls. The ladies of the palace, who were blessed with beautiful teeth and the most wonderfully beautiful faces, walked here and there in the palace, their ankle bells tinkling melodiously, and saw their own beautiful reflections in the gems. The demigods, however, being very much oppressed, had to bow down and offer obeisances at the feet of Hiranyakashipu, who chastised the demigods very severely and for no reason. Thus, Hiranyakashipu lived in the palace and severely ruled everyone. Purport. Hiranyakashipu was so powerful in the heavenly planets that all the demigods except Lord Brahma, Lord Shiv and Lord Vishnu were forced to engage in his service. Indeed, they were afraid of being severely punished if they disobeyed him. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti has compared Hiranyakashipu to Maharaj Vain, who was also atheistic and scornful of the ritualistic ceremonies mentioned in the Vedas. Yet, Maharaj Vain was afraid of some of the great sages such as Bhrigu, whereas Hiranyakashipu ruled in such a way that everyone feared him but Lord Vishnu, Lord Brahma and Lord Shiv. Hiranyakashipu was so alert against being burned to ashes by the anger of great sages like Bhrigu, that by dint of austerity, he surpassed their power and placed even them under his subordination. It appears that even in the higher planetary systems, to which people are promoted by pious activities, disturbances are created by asuras like Hiranyakashipu. No one in the three worlds can live in peace and prosperity without disturbance. Om Agyan Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Unmilitam Yena Tasmay Shri Gurave Nama Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Saraswamiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So we are reading this chapter in which Hiranyakashipu has already performed his austerities, very severe austerities. Lord Brahma even told Hiranyakashipu that till now nobody has performed such austerities, and in the future nobody will be able to perform such austerities. Such a severe austerity Hiranyakashipu performed, and he pleased Lord Brahma and he gathered his desirable benedictions, due to which he became extremely powerful. And an asura, when he becomes powerful, he misuses his power. So Hiranyakashipu went on a world tour, and he went to all the planets. He fought with the rulers of those planets, and he subdued them, became victorious, became the king of that planet, took over their power, took over their control, took over their influence, including the heavenly planet, including the control of Indra and other demigods, and he became the king of the whole universe. Then he selected Indra's palace as his home, as his headquarters, and he sat on Indra's throne, enjoying all the heavenly opulences. Then what happened to Indra? Where did he go? Came to Mumbai? Did he went out of the heavenly planet? No. What happened to Vayu, Varun, Agni, Gandharvas, Kinnaras? Hiranyakashipu put all the demigods and sub-demigods in their staff, in their employ, in his employ. And all these demigods would serve Hiranyakashipu. They would stand with folded hands in front of Hiranyakashipu, who will sit on the throne and order them and chastise them for no reason, severely. Some of the demigods who are so powerful would take his palki. When he goes from his room to bathroom, he will go in a palki. And who will carry this palki? These demigods. Some will stand with a glass of water for him, which he will not drink, because he will drink wine and he will be intoxicated. Some demigods will carry his chappals. Some will fan him. Some will guard his door. He was so powerful, he won over all the demigods, the serpents, the Garuda birds, the sages. Sages like Narad Muni, they would come in his assembly and sing songs glorifying Hiranyakashipu, sing quote-unquote bhajans to glorify Hiranyakashipu, sing verses to glorify Hiranyakashipu, offer prayers to him, glorify his lotus feet, his feet, not lotus feet, That was his power. That was his influence. Out of his fear, without plowing, Mother Earth would give all the food grains. Out of his fear, the clouds will pour rain. Out of his fear, the oceans and seas will give minerals and pearls and oysters. Out of his fear, the cows will give milk. Out of his fear, the planets, the plants and trees would blossom with flowers and fruits. Out of his fears, the seasons would be very nice. Everything was very opulent, very perfect, extremely great. Out of fear of Hiranyakashipu, all the natural phenomena were perfect. The sky was nice, the sun, the moon, everything was very nice, extremely nice. Out of his fear, all these natural personalities, they performed to their best productivity and efficiency. But they never got any appraisals. They only got chastisements. They only got punishments. They would obey Hiranyakashipu before he would speak. They would fulfill his desire. If Hiranyakashipu moves his eyebrows, their dhotis will become wet. They were so afraid of Hiranyakashipu. He took over Agni. He took over Indra. He took over wind. He took over Varun, Vayu. And he controlled the rains. He controlled the fire. He controlled the wind. Indra, Agni, Vayu, their profile was taken by him. He controlled who will go to heaven, who will go to hell. Pious people will go to hell. Impious people will go to heaven. Pious people will be punished severely. Impious people will be rewarded nicely. He controlled natural phenomena. He controlled sunrise, sunset, monsoon, wind flow, breeze. So much power he had. Bolo Hiranyakashipu ki. See, even today people say jai about him. Even today people are influenced by Hiranyakashipu. And this Hiranyakashipu, as a dictator, would rule the whole world from Indra's Sinhasan. Sitting on Indra's Sinhasan, bedecked with coral, the columns made of Vaidurya stone, and the palace decorated with emeralds, rubies, gems, pearls, gold, bed made of silken foam, white like, as white as foam. Indra's planets are highly, highly opulent. Swarga, heavenly planet. That's why it is very popular. People want to go to Swarga. Any person dies, you see their obituary in the newspaper, they will write Swargiya, Swargavasi. You know why they write Swargavasi? Because it doesn't look good to like write Nargavasi. It looks good? No. So they like Swargavasi. But most of them go where? They go Narak. Nowadays, Yamraj and his associates are doing overtime and demigods are free because hardly people go to Swarga. Most of them, when they die, they go to Naraka. So overtime, so busy, because people are performing so many sinful activities. But everybody has a desire that I should go to Swarga, I should go to heavenly planets. Why? Because of all these descriptions. There is higher standard of living there. There is higher standard of happiness there. There is somras there. You can drink unlimited. You don't need license to drink it. And there is apsaras there. They don't become pregnant. And there are Nandan Kanan gardens there. So there is very high standard of happiness in Swargaloka. So people, those who perform pious activities, dharmic activities, refrain from sinful habits, they get a chance to go to heavenly planets after they die. But that is not permanent. They stay in the heavenly planets, in Swarga, till their pious credits are exhausted, which may be few thousand years. And after that, they again come down to the earthly planets. They come down in the raindrops. And that raindrops go in the earth ground. And then the soul takes shelter of from raindrop to grain. Then that grain is eaten by man. And the soul takes shelter in the semen of that man. Then the man injects that semen in woman. And the soul takes shelter in the womb. And then he comes out as a baby. And he continues his human form of life. Again does pious activities, possibly. Again goes to heavenly planets. Again stays there till his pious credits are exhausted. Then again from drop to grain to semen to womb. The cycle goes on continuous. The cycle is permanent. Life is not permanent. The different births. So people want to enjoy these heavenly planets. But above these heavenly planets is spiritual planets. They are much more opulent. They are much more joyful, peaceful. Vaikuntha. Kuntha means anxiety. Vai means no anxiety. That means Swarga Loka, even though they are so opulent, but still there is anxiety. In Swarga, who has the biggest anxiety? Indra. Anytime somebody does some tapasya in earthly planet, Indra becomes anxiety. Indra becomes anxious. Oh, if he performs more than me, then he will take over my throne. Indra becomes in stress. He becomes envious. And he tries to disturb a person's penance. Multiple stories are like that, where Indra tried to disturb somebody's penance. Prithu Maharaj, Vishwamitra, etc. So many are there. So the demigods, even though they are having very opulent lifestyle, they are having high standard of living, they are having higher standard of happiness, but they are not free from disturbances. They are not free from envy. They are not free from anxiety. When Hiranyakashipu took over the kingdom of Indra, these demigods were staying there and they were having so much disturbance. Imagine staying in the same house or palace or city where Hiranyakashipu is your king. There will be so much disturbance. When a dictator or a dictator type person is the king or the leader or the supreme authority in a particular city or a country, then people are not happy. So these demigods, they were into very great anxiety. Even though there were opulence around, but they were not peaceful. They were being disturbed again and again. There is no guarantee on this planet where there will be no disturbance. You know, recently some scientists from UK and America, USA, they invested $7,000 billion to find out a place on this planet Earth in some corner which will be disturbance free. Anybody would like to go there? No? Nobody wants such a good place. But they failed. They didn't find out. Because there is no such place. Doesn't exist. not only on this planet, it doesn't exist in the whole universe. Whichever planet one goes, there will be dukkha, there will be disturbance. When Lord Krishna created this whole universe, after creation, he had a look at his own creation. And he thought, I should give some name to this. Nameplate, like every building they give a name, every shop they give a name. He thought, I should give some name to this. You know what name he gave? Dukhalayam Ashashvatam. Dukhalay means dukhon ka ghar, place where dukh resides. After reading the nameplate, somebody goes and finds sukha. Will he get? He'll get two dukkha. One is one which is there, and one is the frustration of search. It's like I go to Pustakalay and say, Bhai Saab, ek saadi to de do. Give me a saadi. In Pustakalay, will I get? No, Pustakalay means where books are sold. Dukkhalay means where dukkha is experienced. There is no sukha. So when there is no sukha and you search for sukha, what you get? More dukkha. Because your search is a failure. You get frustration. So this whole creation is dukkhalam ashashvatam. Full of miseries. Even the even the heavenly planets, this miseries is there. But heavenly planet, there is one more danger. And that is called pride. As a person becomes opulent, he develops pride. In fact, Bhagavatam 10th canto, Sukadeva Goswami, he out of disgust for Indra, he criticizes Indra. Once, Narakasur is son of Mother Earth, but by bad association, he became an asura. Who is Narakasura's father? Lord Vara. Can anybody imagine Lord Vara and Bhumi Devi can have a child who is asura? But that's the thing. When he was born, he was not asura. He was Vara's son. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Son. But because of bad association, he became asura. And some people say fall down is not possible. Such a good boy became an asura, that's fall down. By bad association, anything is possible. All such things are possible. So Narakasur, he stole Indra's mother's earrings, Aditi's earrings. Very beautiful golden earrings, diamond studded. He stole them. He stole Varuna's umbrella. Now Varuna is himself water devata. He requires umbrella. How many of you digest this? Not rain water umbrella. His throne had an umbrella. That umbrella had all mystic powers. With lace as pearls. White color umbrella. It was a royal paraphernalia. He stole that. Then he took over one of the mountains where Indra used to go for picnic. He took over one part of Indra's land. So Indra fought with Narakasur, but he failed. He got defeated with his whole army. Narakasura have very powerful weapons. So Indra, he came to Dwarka with folded hands. He entered the palace of Dwarka. Krishna is sitting on the throne with all his ministers and all the senior main citizens of Dwarka in the assembly doing nothing. Generally, king's duty is to do what? Solve problems, punish people, do justice, do reforms, plans, municipality problems, drainage problems, etc., etc. What would Krishna do in Dwarka? All this? No. Because there were no problems. Every day morning till evening, only one thing will happen in Dwarka Palace, in Dwarka Assembly, Sudharma Assembly. You know what will happen there? All the arriving people there sitting would laugh. That's all they will do. Laugh why? Because Krishna on the throne will sit and crack jokes. Krishna will sit and tell one joke and everybody will laugh. Then it will second joke, then everybody will laugh. That's the only thing they will do in Dwarka Assembly because there is no work only. That's Krishna. Good, right? Who don't want to serve and become staff of Krishna? No work. Krishna will keep on cracking jokes and they will keep on laughing. Fun-filled atmosphere. That's Dwarka. So in that assembly where everybody is laughing and Krishna is cracking jokes, Indra came with on Airavat, big white elephant, multiple trunks, and Indra with so many eyes and coming with folded hands. And all the citizens are surprised. Who is this person? Why he has come? Oh, he is Indra. He has come to take darshan of Dwarkadish. Oh, he came without appointment today, see? That's what they will talk. So he came, paid full dandavat pranam to Dwarkadish. And he said, my dear Lord, we have a big problem. This Narakasura, he has done this, stole my mother's earrings, Varun's umbrella, insulted me and defeated me and this. Please do something. Dwarka said, okay, I will take care. And Indra was very happy. So humble, he went. And Dwarkadish took his Garuda, sat on his Garuda and straight went to Narakasura. With whom? Army? Big army? No. With his wife, Satyabhama. No, anybody goes to fight with the enemy will take his wife. How will he take his wife? Should take army, commander, senapati, chariot, weapons, armor, or doctor, camp, tent, ration, pani. But he took Satyabhama, his wife, to show her sometimes we also do some work, not just laugh in Dwarka Assembly. So anyway, it's a big story. He killed Narakasura with the help of Satyabhama. Then finally, he got those umbrella and that earrings and he straight went to Swarga, heavenly planets, where so much opulence is there. And Indra was so pleased. He offered him nice asan, worshipped Krishna, and Krishna gave the umbrella and the earrings, and Krishna gave him gifts and thanked him. So when everything was over, Krishna was coming back to Dwarka. Satyabhama, the reason he took Satyabhama is long back he had promised Satyabhama that I will give you one Parijat tree. What happened is, Parijat tree at that time was only in heavenly planets, very fragrant flowers. And Narad Muni once brought that flower and gifted to Rukmini Devi. And the fragrance of that flower from Rukmini's garden, sorry, palace, went to Satyabhama's palace. So Satyabhama was surprised, such a fragrant flower, usko hai, mere ko nahi hai. So she told Krishna, what is this? Always you say, I am your favorite wife, and she gets such a fragrant flower, I don't get. Krishna says, arey kya baat karti hai, aapko ped de denge hum, I will give you tree, don't worry. To pacify. She was happy. Usko, she got flower, I will get tree. So when in heavenly planet, Satyabhama reminded, you told once, you know, I will give me tree, Parijat tree. Oh, Indra's garden, there was a Parijat tree. Krishna told Satyabhama, take this. And she uprooted a tree and put it in Garuda. Said, chalo. Indra's wife saw this. She told Indra, hey, what is this? He is taking your plant, your personal garden's plant. You should stop. And now Indra is thinking, he just killed Narakasura for me. He brought my mother's earrings. How can I stop? Stop means to fight. But then, better half is there. She will make your life hell. Fighting with her is more difficult. So Indra took his army to oppose Krishna at that time. And there was a fight between Indra and Krishna. And I ask you a very simple question. Who got defeated? Of course, Krishna was victorious. Krishna defeated Indra and brought that Parijat tree down. So when Sukadeva Goswami is narrating this story, he said, to hell with Indra, to hell with Indra's throne, and to hell with heavenly opulence, which makes one so proud that he stands against Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. To hell with such opulence, better to live a life of beggar. Because this opulence develops pride. And pride is directly opposite to a feeling of dependence. Feeling of dependence on Krishna. And unless we develop a feeling of dependence on Krishna, we can't chant pure holy name. We can't chant Shuddha Harinam. We can't develop service attitude. And unless we do that, we can't go back home, back to Godhead. So we'll keep on revolving in the cycle of birth and death. This pride is a very dangerous problem. When Krishna told Lord Brahma, you create this universe, Lord Brahma was hesitant. He didn't want it to create. Why? He said, my dear Lord, if I create this, I will become proud. You have just now shaken your hands with me, empowered me for this creation. But by this I will become proud. First you tell me how I should avoid becoming proud, then I will create this. And to help him overcome pride, overcome development of pride, Krishna told him four verses. They are called Chatur Shloki Srimad Bhagavatam. So this original Bhagavatam is spoken to the original audience by the original speaker to solve the original problem. The problem of pride. Pride means one thinks of oneself more than one is. A 10 rupee thinks I am 100 rupee. I have a purchasing power of 100 rupee. That's pride. Pride means you don't value others' contribution or skills or talents. That's pride. Pride means you don't care if others don't care of you. That's pride. Pride means Maya taking you on a ride. And you will glide. Then hide. Better to avoid. We should be away. We should give value to others. Should appreciate others. And we should know we are servants of Krishna. Whatever appreciation or glorification comes in our direction, that is meant for Krishna. If at all we have some skills, talents, qualities, characteristics which appear to be appreciable, respected, attractive, they don't belong to us. They belong to Krishna. As servants, we do our service. There's a saying in English, pride leads to a fall. You heard this? Pride leads to a fall. This is wrong. Pride is equal to fall. As soon as somebody develops pride, there's already fall, already gaya. Now only action is pending. So one should be very careful. So opulence is directly related to this danger of becoming proud. So if at all we want opulence, we should ask Krishna. Because when He gives opulence, He makes sure we don't get pride. If somebody else in this world gives you opulence, He will give you generously. You ask Him mobile, He'll give you BlackBerry. Generously. Le bachcha. You ask Him sabji, He'll give you paneer. Le bachcha. But He will not make sure you don't get pride. Indra, Chandra, Brahma, Vishnu, Ganpati Bappa. All this will very generously give you opulence. You ask, you just go walking barefoot to Siddhi Vinayak, tomorrow He'll give you lakhs of rupees. They will give. Siddhi Vinayak is famous to give anyway. But will He make sure you don't get pride out of that benediction? No. But Krishna, if you ask Him, He will make sure with that opulence, you don't get pride. So it's better to ask Krishna. Because when others give, they attach a bomb to it. When Krishna gives, He removes the bomb. But it takes time to remove the bomb. So sometimes it delayed. We ask Krishna today, He gives when it's not required. The desire is finished. Because bomb removal takes time. So we should ask Krishna. Whatever we want, we should ask Krishna. Kardam Muni, he wanted to marry. And he prayed to the Lord. And he gave Devuti, such a beautiful wife. After getting such a beautiful wife, he had no disturbances in his spiritual life. Very easily, he took sannyas. And he gave up his household life. And he went to search for Krishna. While Krishna was sitting in his house as his son. He didn't develop attachment to family life. There are so many such examples. When Krishna, Yudhishthira Maharaj, Krishna gave him so much opulences, he made him the emperor of the whole world. But Yudhishthira Maharaj continued to be a pure Dharamraj devotee and he got liberated in the Leela. So Krishna gives opulence, He removes that bomb. He removes that pride. Anybody else gives, they don't have that technology to remove the bomb. So they give the bomb with it. We say, so generous Mahatma, Dharmatma, nice donor. I went to his house, gave me 1500, 1 rupees. So nice person. But in that envelope, pride also came. That I couldn't see. and that also enters. The pride also enters in a seed form, invisible form, and gradually we water it early morning by our chanting, and that pride develops into a fruit. And we say, "Arey, ye to achha bhakta, kya ho gaya?" It happens like that. So if you want anything, you ask Krishna. If you don't ask Krishna, fine. But if you want to ask, don't ask the neighbor. If a wife wants sari, she should ask husband. If she doesn't ask, fine, husband will be happy. But if she wants to ask, she should not go to the neighbor and say, "Mujhe sari chahiye." Wo de bhi dega. Then problem aa jayega. If a neighbor gives sari, you know what will happen to her family life. So our neighbor is Lord Shiva, anyway. So you ask Radharas Bihari, he will give. Whatever you want, he will give. If you don't ask, fine. He is giving without asking also. But if you at all want to ask, don't go to neighbor. Go to your husband. Don't go to other's husband. Family life disturb ho jayega dono ka. So we go to Krishna. "My dear Lord, I want this." So that opulence, by the mercy of Krishna, is devoid of generating pride. So when we use that opulence in the service of the Lord, with the knowledge that it belongs to the Lord, is devoid of pride, and that will help us. Otherwise, opulence means very danger. As soon as you come across an opulence which you are not used to in your standard of life, you should know danger. Kuch gadbad hone wala hai. Ho sakta hai. Start ho sakta hai. You should know this. So heavenly opulence is like that. Those people who think, "I'll do nice pious credits and go to heavenly opulence and I'll enjoy life," there is no enjoyment. It's in the namesake enjoyment. There is always fear. Fear when demons will attack. Bali Maharaj, Indra, after the churning of the ocean, killed Bali Maharaj. Finished. Khatam. Case khatam. File close. After few days, he sees Bali Maharaj again in front of him with a big army like an ocean. And Indra was so afraid. So much so that Indra took the form of a bird and ran away from heavenly planets. Ran away. And he came down in India. Wherever is he staying? Not even in one BHK. In caves. In the forest. Afraid, Bali Maharaj may come and kill me. See, what is the heavenly planet opulence? So much anxiety, so much envy, so much fear. Fear of attack of demons. Fear of somebody overpowering. So when Hiranyakashipu was dictator, was the king, the master of the universe, except Lord Brahma, Lord Vishnu and Lord Shiva, everybody would report to him and serve him, glorify him, flatter him, stand with folded hands respectfully in front of him, take his orders, take his chastisement. Just like there was King Vain, son of King Anga, very cruel boy. When he was small boy, his favorite game was to take small children and drown them in the river. That was his favorite pastime. Favorite game, "Chalo aaj shaam ko, 21 ho gaya ab tak." That was his cruelty. You take bow and arrow and go in the name of hunting and catch all small animals and kill them cruelly. And when you would come back from the forest or walk on the road of the kingdom, everybody will what say? "Rajkumar aa gaya, Vain aa gaya." Nahi, cruel aa gaya, kroor aa gaya. Rakshas aa gaya, badmash aa gaya. That was his fame. So King Vain was very cruel. So King Anga, seeing the bad behavior of his boy, he couldn't reform him in multiple ways. He left the kingdom, frustrated, disgusted. So when he left the kingdom without the king, there were so many robbers and thieves, they will harass the citizens. So the Brahmanas, they thought there should be some king. Blind uncle is better than no uncle. So they made Vain the king. The minister said, "Arey, don't make him the king, he is not suitable." But Brahmana said, "Without king already Janta is suffering. So let Vain become the king." As soon as Vain become the king, there was not a single robber, not a single dacoit, not a single thief active in the kingdom. They all went underground. Because he was such a big robber himself. All went underground. And now the Janta were in more problems, and the Brahmanas who made the king, they were in bigger problems, because he sent a message to all the Brahmanas, stop doing fire sacrifice, stop doing deity worship. If at all you want to do, chant my holy name, worship me, this is my mantra, this is my deity, and that's all. No other religious activity in my kingdom. That's what King Vain did. The Brahmanas gathered together, they thought, let us go and educate the king. And in an assembly they went to the king and gave him a pravachan that you should worship Vishnu, you should allow demigod worship, should allow fire sacrifices, blah blah blah, they said. After hearing the pravachan, King Vain said, "You all are prostitutes. I am maintaining you, you are worshipping somebody else. I am the supreme personality of Godhead. I am maintaining you and you worship somebody else. This is uneducated child." He claimed himself to be God. He was so cruel and against Vedic religious sacrifices. So finally the Brahmanas killed King Vain. Hiranyakashipu, he became so powerful, not even Bhrigu Muni could kill Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu made sure that he performed so severe austerities that he can make this Brahmana Bhrigu Muni and his followers also his subordinate. So even this Bhrigu Muni, all, they were subordinate. Even Narad Muni and all, they were worshipping. See, sometimes it may happen that devotees may have to glorify asuras. Before this happens, let's go back home, back to Godhead. This is going to happen. As democracy is progressing, this may happen. As the countries are advancing, the political situations are advancing, it may happen. In fact, Prabhupada writes, any time it may happen, a government may declare no religious activity. Atheistic. Any time it may happen. So better we go back home, back to Godhead before that. Practice nicely and in this life go back home, back to Godhead. We can't reform the society completely. But we can make ourselves perfect so that we can go back home, back to Godhead. So, just like King Vain, Hiranyakashipu was very cruel and he kept even the devtas and sages under his control. He was so powerful, sitting on the throne of Indra. People, they get power, they misuse it. And when they misuse power, they misuse on other people. They become victims. That's the line. That's what happens in this society. That as soon as one gets power, he makes somebody else victim. One's strength should be used to protect the weak person. One's strength should never be used to harm a weak person. That is simple no. That sinful activity. Power should be used to help a person who is weak, who needs help. Power should be used to raise a person, not to put a person more down. That's misuse of power. And when that happens, then Krishna makes powder out of that power. We'll see what happened to Hiranyakashipu in the future. Krishna, then such a person, such an upstart, such an asura is killed by the nature or by representative of Krishna or by the arrangement of Krishna. So Hiranyakashipu was misusing his power and oppressing the weaker section of the society, the power he got from Brahma. That's why he's called asura. One who misuses his power to disturb the weak people and make them his victims is asura. Such person should be not given power. They should not be given power over the weaker section of the society. They will misuse. So Hiranyakashipu is like that. Such a big asura. Okay. We'll end here. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Hare Krishna. Are there any questions or comments we will take? Yeah, Mike.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for nice class.
Hare Krishna.
When I was thinking about this Vena, he is Father Anga. So when the situation was terrible, so he took a solution as a just quitting only things. So that is one way of dealing with the situation. Another we find like Bhishma Dev in Mahabharata. Although things were going so wrong, he was victimized by so many things. But still he stood on facing that whole thing. So, which is...
King Anga tried all possible solutions to reform his son, but it didn't work. Then finally he was so frustrated that he said, better I go to forest and practice devotional service. King Anga is a pure devotee. And Prabhupada writes, sometimes a devotee is given a bad wife and a bad son so that he can easily detach himself and go to the forest and practice devotional service. So eventually King Anga, even if he has to stand to perform his duties, eventually he has to take Varnaprastha also. One has to follow the whole Varnashram. So he thought this is the right time to take Varnaprastha. Anybody in any way so frustrated, family life is there, wife is not good, son is not good, better I go to the forest and practice devotional service. So he left. So if somebody leaves his duty for Krishna, that's fine. Somebody does his duty for Krishna, that's fine. The question is not whether leaving duty is fine or doing duty is fine. The question is for whom? We are doing for Krishna. King Anga used this opportunity to take retirement. Vanapras, like Subhudhi Roy, when he was made into Muslim by Nawab Hussain Shah, he took this opportunity and went to retirement. So taking an opportunity to go further in spiritual life for Krishna, that's acceptable. Bhishma Dev, he is Mahajan, he knows the plan of Krishna. So he knows this battle has to happen, war has to happen, and I have a role to play in this war. So he stood for that, he waited for that. Vidura, he knew, I have no role in this battle. I have a role after the battle to liberate Dhritarashtra. So he left and went to Maitreya Rishi. Right? So question is not to wait or to leave. The question is to please the Lord. So we may not know the plan of the Lord. We have a spiritual master. We ask him, what is our duty in this situation? And we perform our duty. Okay? Yeah, you have to take the mic, whoever.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhu ji, aapne lecture mein kaha ki swarg ke jo apsara hai, wo garbhavati nahi hoti hai karke. To Indra ke jo patni, wo bhi apsara ki category mein aati hai ki dusra kuch?
Nahi, wo devi ke category mein aati
hai. Devi. ठीक है तो फिर ये मेनका वो तो जन्म दिया था ना वो
नीचे
शकुंतला को
नीचे आकर फॉल डाउन हो गया उसका अपसरा का स्टेटस चला गया
पर गर्भवती तो हुई ना, वो भी अप्सरा था ना।
नहीं, अप्सरा का स्टेटस चला गया, नीचे आकर विश्वामित्र के साथ संबंध बनाया तो स्टेटस चला गया, फिर अर्थली वुमन का लॉस एप्लीकेबल हो गया। अप्सरा नीचे आकर संबंध बनाएंगे तो उनका स्टेटस अप्सरा का चला जाता है, फिर इधर का नियम एप्लीकेबल हो जाता है, उनका स्टेटस चला गया। यानी ये एक्सेप्शन है और इस पर चिंतन नहीं किया तो भी चलेगा। हाँ, इसका प्रश्न का उत्तर नहीं मिला तो भी चलेगा। या ओके, माइक दे दो पीछे।
हरे कृष्ण प्रभु, थैंक यू फॉर योर क्लास। सो हिरण्यकश्यप इज सो मच पावरफुल दैट ही कंक्वर्ड एवरीवन। इवन इन नेक्स्ट वर्स 13 इट मेंशन दैट मास्टर ऑफ थ्री गुनास ब्रह्मा विष्णु महेश आल्सो ही कंक्वर्ड।
सो इज कंट्रोलिंग,
लाइक ब्रह्मा विष्णु महेश आल्सो वॉन्टेड टू प्लीज हिम एंड गिव सम नाइस रिप्रेजेंटेशन लाइक प्रेजेंट।
नो नो,
दे आर मेंशन
except these three others. Next verse you want
yeah,
to read?
Yeah. So I just wanted to clarify the things like...
Nonetheless, because he had powerfully executed great austerities in mystic yoga, although he was abominable, all but the three principal demigods, Brahma, Shiva and Vishnu, personally worshipped him to please him by bringing him various presentations with their own hands. This verse, so all but these three. So these three were not inclined to please him by giving him gifts. Clear? Yeah.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Guruji, you said that when Krishna gives some opulence, so he takes away the proud part from that. But we see that Indra also has got his position by Krishna. But then why so many things are happening?
Because Indra used his opulence in Maya. Krishna gives his opulence to devotees for Krishna's service. But when that opulence is used by personal sense gratification, that's Maya. That's no longer related to Krishna. Lakshmi and Durga Devi, the difference is when using Krishna's service is Lakshmi, and the same thing is using our personal sense here, Durga Devi. Ravana picked up Sita Devi, but that's Maya. Hanuman wanted Sita Devi to unite with Ram, that's Bhakti, that's Lakshmi Devi. So opulence when we come in contact, but if the attitude is not of service, then that opulence will have pride. If the attitude is of personal enjoyment, then it will have pride. So when Krishna gives, it doesn't mean that Krishna gives and now matter is over, now it belongs to me. It still belongs to Krishna, so we use it in Krishna's service. Then it doesn't disturb us. Right?
So if Indra is trying to protect his power, because this power and opulence has been given by Krishna to use in his service, and someone is trying to disturb Indra, someone, you know, is doing austerity. So if Indra is trying to protect his power, what is harm in that?
Protecting power for service and being envious of a person who may become better than you, there's a difference. So if somebody is doing austerity, that's up to Krishna to decide if he is qualified enough to become the Indra and replace the post of the present Indra. But instead of waiting for Krishna to decide and give the result of his austerities, this fellow becomes envious of a person who may become qualified more than him and goes and disturbs him so that he never becomes qualified. Getting me? If I am sitting on a post and I have been given by that post by Vishnu, and somebody else may become qualified in the future for the same post, that Vishnu to decide whether to replace or not. If my performance is nice, he will not replace. If my performance is not nice, he will replace. But before even Vishnu takes action, I go and disturb that person. That's enviousness. Right? So Indra becomes envious of a person, that's not good. So when a person becomes envious, then the power he used has, he misuses it, he becomes corrupt. You know the saying, power corrupts? That's not true. Krishna has power, he never became corrupt. Prabhupada has power, he never became corrupt. Narad Muni has power, he never became corrupt. Yudhishthira Maharaj had power, he never became corrupt. Power doesn't corrupt. Fear of losing power corrupts. If I have power, that will not corrupt me. But with power I have a fear that this power I will lose. That corrupts. Because as soon as I develop fear of losing power, I use the power not to do my duty, but to protect my power. When I use my power to protect my power, I become corrupt. So power is given to perform a particular duty. It's Vishnu's job to protect whom he has given power. But when I start doing Vishnu's job of protecting my own power, then I become corrupt. Then I misuse the power. So if Indra or anybody has been given a post by Vishnu, it's still his decision whenever to replace. But if he thinks I have to protect my post, and he becomes envious of a person who may become qualified or eligible and disturbs him, that's not acceptable thing. Right? So that means Maya. So opulence given by Krishna, the case doesn't end, the point doesn't end there. That opulence has to be used in Krishna's service. Okay?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
When the demigods face any problem, they first go to their immediate authority, either Brahma or Shiva. But we see when Narakasur attacked, so
when
Narakasur attacked Swargalok, the Indra, he came down to Krishna directly, but he didn't approach Brahma or Shiva. So
okay.
How to understand?
That's okay, no problem. Krishna was available. Generally, he is not available. You have to go through Brahma. Brahma goes to Shvetadip and sits in the shore of the ocean, and he transmits knowledge through wireless transmitter in his heart. Then he says, oh, he will come. But here, to Dwarka, he is available to everybody. Anybody can go and tell their problems. So when Krishna incarnates, then he is available. Right? You getting me?
Yeah.
You can give to Srivas. Since long his desire is pending.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. So some portion of question was similar to what Chakravarti Prabhu has asked. In a similar case, we see that Daksha, he also did austerities to get benediction, and Vishnu personally comes and gives him benediction that I give you benediction to procreate, progeny. And we see that he becomes again pride in case when Narad Muni makes his sons into brahmacharis. So the purpose was still in similar lines, that you know, if Daksha wanted his sons to procreate so that his sons can assist him in his service of increasing the population. So how should we see this, that you know, Daksha becoming pride and in the whole situation?
So Daksha became proud or upset?
He cursed Narad Muni also, so it shows that it's pride, so, and both.
All the same thing happened with Brahma. Brahma created four Kumaras and he told them, now you marry. But they said, no, we will become brahmacharis. Brahma got angry, but he didn't chastise them because he knew they are right. He controlled his anger by knowledge. But he couldn't control completely, so that anger manifested into Rudra. Right? So this got conflict. Conflict of interest. So Daksha, he had a particular service and he thought this plan will make happen. But sometimes, even Daksha or us, when we make a plan, that may not happen, so we have to switch to plan B. So Daksha thought, my plan should work, but Narad Muni has his own plan. Krishna has given service to Narad Muni to preach. So this is eternal conflict between Grahasthas and Brahmacharis. Brahmacharis want the Grahastha's son to become Brahmachari. Grahasthas want their son to continue the name of the family. This is eternal conflict. Both are doing their duty. They are doing their duty. Brahmacharis are doing their duty. So Daksha, because of attachment to his sons and attachment to his plan, he got affected. So he cursed Narad Muni. Then Brahma said, look, you have plan B. Then he produced daughters. Narad Muni didn't touch the daughters. Let them marry and create population. So this is because of attachment. When our attachment is disturbed, then we become upset. Then we use our power against the person who has disturbed the attachment. So this is because of Daksha's attachment. Okay?
Thank you.
So it is not that in the service of Krishna, still I am protected. Maya is always affecting us in some way or other. And in devotional life, Maya will come in the garb of devotee or in the garb of devotee devotional activity. Maya will not come in directly her own full form. Right? For devotees who are practicing Krishna consciousness in many years, Maya will not come to them in the form of wine and cigarette. Because she knows I will fail. Maya will come in the form of some devotee only. Because Maya knows kaise harana hai. So our attachment to service, attachment to idea, attachment to my plan, my opinion, Maya comes in that way. Okay? Etc. etc. Yes, Abhinav.
So conclusion is we should depend on advanced devotees and exalted devotees then? Because
yeah,
Maya.
We should protect ourselves. At every step we should protect ourselves from Maya. The biggest problem is if I think I am not in illusion. Hare Krishna.
Prabhu, Hare Krishna. Maya is coming, so far as devotees are concerned, Maya is coming in the form of devotee only, isn't it? You said. Huh?
Maya uses another devotee. Maya uses another devotee.
Okay, Maya is, uses another devotee.
Makes another devotee as an instrument of herself. Okay, you continue your question. No?
No, for devotees, Maya is coming as a devotee, correct you said?
Yeah.
But then when Maya comes as a devotee, should the devotee accept the Maya in the nature of devotee? This you have to say.
Not at all. Not at all. Anything which disturbs my devotional service should not be accepted. Even the other thing is devotional service. Yes. Every other person's food may be my poison.
Yes.
My question is that
if a devotee lady comes in front of a brahmachari as a nice devotee, a brahmachari doesn't have to associate, thinking that this is devotee association. Right? No, they should not. That's Maya. That's Maya. Not devotee. For another senior Mataji, that's devotee. Can preach. Engage. But for male, that's Maya, not devotee. Can't engage, can't associate. Keep away, butter at fire. Like that. One person's food is other person's poison. Okay? Like somebody gives few lakh rupees donation. Somebody who can use that money in Krishna service, that's Lakshmi. Somebody who can't use in Krishna service, that's Maya. Will spoil. That's jahar. That's poison. Right? So everybody is not capable to do every service. That service which spoils my purity cannot be accepted devotional service. Cannot be accepted causeless mercy of Krishna. Gift of God. Gift of providence. That is Maya. That's my purity, whatever purity I have developed till now, cannot be compromised in the name of devotional service. That's Maya. Okay?
Hare Krishna, my question is that is Maya devotee or non-devotee?
Maya is devotee. Maya does Krishna's job. Maya is Krishna Das. But we should not become Maya Das. Maya does a thankless job. Right? So we should cooperate with Krishna, not with Maya. Maya's job is to take us away from Krishna So Maya does her job nicely. So she is a devotee of Krishna. Okay? Yes.
हरे कृष्ण गुरु जी, आप बताए कि ये संसार को दुखालय में बताया गया और जैसे आप बोले कि लिखा गया है, ऐसा ऐसा कौन सा प्लैनेट में ऐसा लिखा गया जैसे हमारा बाहर गेट में लिखा गया श्री श्री राधा रास बिहारी मंदिर, उसी प्रकार कौन सा ऐसा प्लैनेट में लिखा गया दुखालय अशाश्वतम?
करोड़ों भगवद गीता में लिखा गया है, गोडाउन की हर भगवदगीता खोल के देखो, कौन सा चैप्टर है भाई? आठवां, एट चैप्टर, विच वर्स? 8.15, हर 8.15 में लिखा गया है, हर प्लैनेट के, हर भगवद गीता के 8.15 में लिखा गया है, दुखालयम अशाश्वतम। वो तो सिर्फ बोलने का तरीका था, एक जगह पे नहीं लिखा गया है। ओके, ये शहर मुंबई है क्या? कहाँ लिखा है बताओ, है कहीं लिखा? शहर के बाहर है ऐसा मुंबई? हाँ, कभी देखा? हाँ, मैप में लिखा है, पेपर पे, ऐसा शहर के बाहर नहीं लिखा है मुंबई? ये जू है, कहीं लिखा है जू? एक जगह बताओ जू के अंदर जहां पर बोर्ड लगा है जू। वो तो एड्रेस लिखा है ना, ऐसा लिखा है क्या बोर्ड लगा के? उसी तरह आपका नाम कहां लिखा है आपके ऊपर? कहीं और लिखा है ना, राशन कार्ड में, जो भी है गुरु महाराज की डायरी में लिखा वैसे। ठीक है, ओके, विल एंड हियर। थैंक यू वेरी मच। श्रीमद् भागवतम की, श्रील प्रभुपाद की।